It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Often Show, final 45 before we give way to Caps pregame. We got the Caps here tonight. Nats are over on 106.7 The Fan, so we're done at 6:45. But we're not done before we get to one of the top stories that broke yesterday. It was pretty surprising, at least to me. We'll see if it's surprising to our next guest. Ben Pickman covers college basketball, women's basketball, also the WNBA for The Athletic, and he's back with us on the show. Ben, appreciate your time, as always, especially on a day where I know you were traveling. Had the games last night, so really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So Olivia Miles, who was projected by most mock drafts to be the number two pick in the WNBA draft, which is somehow like 10 days from now, she was projected to be second overall pick, guard out of Notre Dame. She's awesome. She's entering the transfer portal instead. There's a chance she could go back to Notre Dame, but she's likely going to head to another school instead, bypassing the WNBA draft for 2025. How surprising is this? Let's just simply start there.
Yeah, I definitely think it is a surprise. And, you know, she had told ESPN after Notre Dame's Sweet 16 loss that she was leaning towards going to the WNBA, leaning towards the draft. And she admitted that, you know, maybe tomorrow she'll wake up and want to come back. But I don't think a lot of people had this scenario in the cards for her. And part of that was because she had seemingly done what most college kids want to do at the college level, right? She had had a ton of individual success. Notre Dame had, you know, gone to multiple Sweet 16s throughout her career, and she was set up to be, you know, a top two or top three pick in this April's draft. And so, you know, she was highly regarded among GMs. Everything was seemingly set up for her to succeed and take the leap. And so, yes, it was definitely surprising on Monday evening when news came out that she was intending to enter the transfer portal. And I think there are still a lot of questions that need to be answered. And we haven't heard from her firsthand about why she is entering the transfer portal. What about her experience at Notre Dame? Does she want to change at her next school? Why is she not electing to go pro now? There's just a lot kind of hovering over the situation. And I think, frankly, you know, her season has only been over for 3 days. There's still a lot that I'm sure she's still processing, but there's a lot that we're going to have to find out too.
If I were to think, try to just put myself inside her situation and be like, why would I opt to do this? There is a fairly plausible explanation, which is if she goes into the portal, she's going to be the most heavily recruited player in it by a mile. If you're going to be the number two pick in the WNBA draft, then quite obviously, unless the number one presumptive pick decided to do the same thing, which Paige Beckers has already said she's not, she's going to go to the WNBA. Obviously, you're going to get more money than any other women's basketball player from the school. And because we are in the last year of this CBA, Ben, in the WNBA, which I'm sure you and I and everyone else who covers the sport will talk about ad nauseum over the next 9 months, or the next 6 months, really, until the season ends, and we'll see how the negotiations go. But because of that, where next year her rookie contract might be worth double, and this year it's not worth very much at all, I wonder how much of this is purely a financial decision where she might feel like she can legitimately make more and the only thing she'd be losing is getting to her second WNBA contract 1 year faster. Does that sound plausible, valid? You know, you've, I'm sure, interviewed Miles before and know her better than I do. Does that sound like a theoretical explanation here?
I mean, that's definitely a common refrain people throw out, but I do want to kind of push back against this idea that, you know, you stand to always make more in college than by going to the WNBA, because what people forget is that, you know, it's not like these endorsements, these companies aren't going to follow players to the pros, right?
Of course.
She has an endorsement deal with CVS. She has an endorsement deal with Celsius. I'm sure she has dozens of other deals with high profile companies that, you know, will want to work with her. And if you think about, you know, some of the other big stars in women's college basketball who then went on to the WNBA, it's not like Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese, for instance, are seemingly struggling financially or that sponsors didn't follow them when they made the leap from, you know, one level to the other. And so,
yeah,
you know,
I totally get that, Ben. I guess what I'm really asking, though, then in terms of the pure numbers is, like, now that schools can pay players directly, is the amount that Olivia Miles can make from a school on top of her endorsements for the final year, hopefully, in the WNBA's history with this new CBA coming, is that number specifically for Olivia Miles more than she might make as a WNBA rookie? Because I'm 100% with you, and yeah. That what you said is really important, that for most players, if they've got that kind of notoriety, that's following them to the pros, and that's a silly, tired, old argument, except for in this very bizarre Venn diagram of times where the schools can actually pay players and the WNBA is still 1 year away from really launching into their next financial era.
No, it's a good question. And honestly, like, at this point, we don't have a clear answer to it. I don't know exactly what she would get kind of in an NIL era from any of these school collectives that are recruiting her. But a kind of simpler explanation might be going back to health and how she feels in her recovery, right? She told me at the Sweet 16, I was down in Birmingham where Notre Dame was playing, that she still feels like she's just getting to around 75% of the player she used to be. And she cited that not from a skill perspective, but from a physical perspective. You know, she tore her ACL and missed all of last season, I guess now 2 years ago, now that Notre Dame season has ended. And she said she's basically still trying to work her way back physically and strengthen not only the knee of the ACL that she tore, but more importantly, the other leg. And so if we're looking for kind of a potentially other simple explanation, you know, as you mentioned, the WNBA draft is 10 days away. The WNBA season is, I guess it's 6 weeks away, something like that. It feels crazy to say as we're talking on April 1st. Like, maybe it's just she wants to, you know, come back, get stronger, play, you know, prepare herself more for the next level and make the jump when, you know, she stands to benefit financially too from a new CBA, but also when she feels more confident in her ability to play at the next level. I think that's certainly a possibility here too.
Totally. And that is why Ben's podcast is called No Off Season. You can check that out from The Athletic. It is because women's college basketball rolls right into the W. And last thing on Miles here specifically, and then I want to talk about the impact it has on the rest of the draft is, do we have, and this is so early, the answer just might be no, ask the next question. Do we have any early indications on who might be in for her? Clearly, all the top programs are going to try, but, like, do we have any idea where Olivia Miles wants to play basketball next season?
I don't currently. I mean, I got to imagine that anywhere she is going to go is going to really make an effort to tailor their offense around her and, you know, make her feel as wanted, as included, and as central to their success as she wants to be. Like, she spent this year kind of playing alongside Hannah Hidalgo. My guess is she will be the pure, undisputed lead guard at whatever the next program is that she goes to. If you want to throw out one kind of potentially interesting name, we've seen a program just this past year have a ton of success with a lead guard kind of really running the show. TCU is one really, really interesting name, potentially. They're super active in the transfer portal every single year, seemingly. They play a pro-style offense, which would fit Miles well as she prepares for the WNBA in 2026 now. And we saw what they could do with Haley Van Litt just playing spread pick and roll. You know, imagine Miles kind of playing that kind of style of basketball. You could definitely see a player enjoying fitting into that system. So that's kind of an interesting one to watch potentially, just knowing TCU's history.
That is a great pull. Okay, so the WNBA draft is 10 days from now, or 10-ish days from now, I guess 13. It's Monday the 14th. So there, I'll do the actual math here on April 1st. Typically, my math skills lead themselves to an April Fool's joke, but I think that's actually correct. So 13 days from now, Monday, April 14th, Olivia Miles will not go second overall. What does this do for the rest of the draft down? Because every mock draft I feel like I've looked at, Miles has been the pick there. And I know you recently talked to a bunch of GMs for your GM Confidential piece. By the way, the best type of draft piece that exists. And I'm so happy that you and Sabrina do it for the W. But you talked to a bunch of GMs. Now who's in contention for that second pick? And then what does that leave down board for the Mystics starting at 3?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer to who might go 2 will just be Dominique Malanga. She is the French 6'6" center who's averaging nearly 19 points and 11 rebounds per game in EuroCup play this year, which is super, super impressive considering she's just 18 or 19 years old. You know, she is the kind of prospect, and we have this in our confidential that you mentioned, like some people say that she might be the most intriguing prospect in this draft. And from an upside perspective, people could look back and say she should have been the clear number one in this draft. Like, she is that good, that highly regarded, and has that kind of upside. So, you know, fit wise, Seattle has the number 2 pick. They have Ezzie Magbegor, who is a really young, athletic, all-star caliber center. So it would be interesting to see how Magbegor and Malanga and Neko Gumake, kind of an MVP, a former MVP veteran, you know, we all fit together, but Malanga just might have the upside to make that pick worth it. As it relates to Washington, I mean, I think there was a scenario in play that I know some people were kind of talking about a little bit, just kind of fans, media members that I had heard some chatter about, you know, in Birmingham, that like, if Malanga goes 2, is there a scenario where the Mystics could get both Miles and Sonia Citron and just have a Notre Dame backcourt going forward? And, you know, that could have been really fun for, I think, Mystics fans. I think Citron is one of these players who I would be pretty surprised at this point with Miles going back. If she slid outside the top 4, I think Washington makes a lot of sense for her. She's super versatile, super skilled, really hard worker. Seemingly every executive has glowing things to say about her. It's hard to find a negative thing to say. But then there are bigger questions. Is there another guard who slides in? Anissa Morrow's had a really good tournament. Kiki Iriafen had slid down some boards this season, but she is a player who has, I think, improved her stock because, you know, in the wake of Juju Watkins going out, like, she has shown that she can really be a centerpiece again. So those are some names that I would keep my eye on, but I got to imagine it's a guard-heavy draft, but there will definitely be some shuffling with Miles no longer being in the picture.
Yeah, I mean, the way Iriafen played the last 2 games is, I'm like, whew, yeah. But also, they've already got Aaliyah, they've already got Shakira, so there's always the fit question as well. Last thing, Ben, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, because this is kind of the story that's floating over all of this, even over anything that Olivia Miles adjacent was floating. There's still the idea that a lot of people think Paige Bueckers ain't going to Dallas, that she's just going to tell them, please do not draft me, or like somehow make it so that I am not going to your team. I do not want to play for you. And Washington is clearly well positioned, if that's the case, to make a trade. They have 3 of the top 6 picks. We know that Paige likes it here. She's hung out here with AZ in the offseason. AZ Fudd, of course, her UConn teammate who is from here. She had passed on the draft this year, by the way, in case anyone missed that story. But what are the chances still that there is, in the next 13 days, a blockbuster deal that sees the number 1 pick move? And if that were to happen, when do we think that bomb drops?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard nothing concrete to suggest that that pick is kind of in play to be moved. You know, on the surface from kind of a mock draft, mock trade perspective, you know, certainly 3-4 and I believe 7 for one, like, yeah, that's kind of interesting. And like, you know, maybe you'd have to consider it if you're Dallas, but, you know, I've heard nothing concrete to say that's in the works. And I've also heard nothing concrete to say Paige doesn't want to be in Dallas either. You know, you do make a fair case for Washington. And I would just add, you're making that case, Aaliyah Edwards, obviously one of Paige's best friends from her time at UConn. So if we're looking for another connection, there's another one right there. But I think it's a little... it's certainly a fun debate topic, but I don't know if I'm going to envision that one happening in the next 14 days.
Oh, it's a win-win situation for me, Ben, because either Paige is going to wind up potentially here if the trade happens, or Howard Megdahl is going to have to come on the show and eat his hat, because he told me if Paige winds up playing for Dallas, he will come back on the show and he will eat the hat that he was wearing. So I got to go figure out which hat Howard was wearing if that's not going to happen, because he's going to have to chew on a hat.
Love that. As long as I don't have to do that.
Yeah, no hat eating for you. Ben Pickman, all he does is write and host a podcast. Both are excellent. You can read his work at The Athletic in the written form, everything from Birmingham over the past couple of days. And then obviously we'll be covering the Final Four from Tampa, and they do a great job on their podcast as well. It's called No Off Season. Search for it in your favorite podcast app. Ben, appreciate your time as always. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Glad to chat.
That is Ben Pickman with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, we'll react a little bit to that. But first, more on the latest in the world of women's sports. It's presented to you by Wawa. Chicken how you want at Wawa with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube too. At the Team 980. Been a heck of a day. Thanks to our friends from The Athletic, Seth Emerson, new friend of the show, who joined us earlier to talk about the Maryland Buzz Williams hire. And then Ben Pickman, who just joined us talking about the impact on the WNBA draft that Olivia Miles saying she's not entering it. She didn't really withdraw. She's just not declaring this year is going to have. Which also, Anthony, it's worth pointing out just real quick as we have a brief minute here. That also obviously affects the 2026 WNBA mock draft. So before the Miles news, let's see. I'm looking at a mock draft that looks at 2026, right? So as of right now, here are some of the top names. Lauren Betts from UCLA, the center. Kiki Rice, DC's very own, the point guard. Flage, who could be in this year's draft, might go back. And then you've got Taniya Ladson, Reagan Beers from Oklahoma, on down the list, Kayleen Schmeichel from Maryland. So it's not the craziest draft compared to...
Did you say AZ?
Well, I guess that's the thing, is right now AZ is...
Oh, she's in this year.
Is in. AZ's going to be in... If AZ has a season next year, like, she's going to be in contention for potentially, like, the top pick in this draft.
Top two, yeah. Her and Lauren Betts.
Yeah. I mean, Kiki, we'll see what kind of year she has. But, I mean, Ashlyn Watkins from South Carolina could be in that draft. I mean, the other one, too, is, like... I feel like a crazy person every time I say this because no one else has this. But, like, can't Juju enter next year?
Don't you have to be 22? And you have to play 3 years? She only played two.
Well, she's played two already.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. 2026, can't she go in?
She can go in not having played a third season in college.
Well, I mean, she's 3 years removed from high school.
Oh, just 3 years.
So to be eligible for the WNBA draft, domestic players must be at least 22 years of age during the calendar year of the draft and have exhausted their college eligibility or be scheduled to graduate within 3 months of the draft. So if she had I guess that's the problem, is she's not going to be able to graduate early. Because even if she renounces her college eligibility. So Juju right now is... Also, let's see. She's only 19. She turns 20 in July. So no, she's not going to be eligible next year. Even though she'll be 3 years out of high school, she is young enough that
she is young as hell.
I didn't realize she's still only 19. I thought she was 20. So she will not turn 22 in time. Okay, so Juju's 27. As is Hannah Hidalgo, 2027. But I mean, that's another thing too. Miles is now probably number one pick next year. Unless a team likes Lauren Betts more, or AZ goes crazy. And that's relevant because the Mystics are probably going to be bad again.
I was about to say, like, do the Mystics...
Will have the top... Barring this year going way better than anticipated, the Mystics will have the top odds next year because it's a two-year rolling lottery system.
Ah, okay.
So they'll have, like... And it's only four teams. So it's, like, a 44% chance. Or maybe it'll be five teams this year because the Valkyrie are coming in. But it's like a 40-something percent chance you get the number one pick, which was crazy because this year Dallas pulled a major upset.
Yeah.
And they also have Chicago's pick next year. So depending on where the Sky finish, they could have like a 60% chance if the Sky are bad. Now, I don't know if the Sky are going to be bad with Angel in year two and Ariel and whatever, but like I don't know if they're going to be good either. So
we'll see.
Just food for thought. Food for thought.
I'm excited.
I am too. I'm debating doing a really serious topic before the end of the show. I haven't decided yet. We'll either do something serious or we'll do something really fun and stupid to end the show before we give way to real things and then ultimately Caps hockey coming up at 6:45 next. All right. I've decided I'm not going to do the serious topic because it's like serious. And... it's just not the vibes that I want to end the show with, nor do I want to do that to Capitals pregame. So we might table the serious discussion for tomorrow about the serious thing that I was going to talk about. So that leaves us with what else do we want to talk about here, Anthony? What you got going on over there? You're taking care of some business. I was also taking care of business.
Well, I was looking more into what we were discussing. That's all.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go there because it's like it fills me with absolute rage. You wanna know what? Now I feel like I have to. Do I do it?
I don't think you do a deep dive. I think awareness.
That's a good way to put it. So basically, see what had happened was. There's this story that caught fire on the internet that was completely false about this young woman at Ole Miss who is an athlete. I think she was a cross-country runner. And there's somehow on... there's something called Yik Yak is where it started.
Yik Yak was alive when I was there in college.
What? I don't even know. I'd never heard of Yik Yak until this story.
It's just like an app for the campus, to be honest. Like everybody gets access to it, and you can
say whatever you want. And some jackass posted that this girl had cheated on her boyfriend with the boyfriend's dad. And somehow this Yik Yak rumor got all the way to Pat McAfee's show, and he talked about it. And this girl's life is in shambles right now. She's probably on serious mental health watch. She's not sleeping. She is filled with anxiety. She can't step outside her dorm. Her life is ruined because the Pat McAfee show, it was probably already really bad, but now it's being talked about on national news. And the short version of my much more serious, more intense rant is, one, it is super weird behavior for McAfee to care, and his show. When I say McAfee, I'm not just talking about him as a host. I'm saying his show, which is a bunch of grown adult men, to talk about this story. Ultimately, this is the private life and I guess probably their interest, the sex life of an 18-year-old college student. What is wrong with you? And two, I think the bigger, if you even want to get past that weirdness somehow, how is the villain in this story this girl as opposed to the dad if it was true and it's not even true in the first place? And so is there, of course, a bigger story about media responsibility, and someone like McAfee is just I'm a clown and I'm entertaining. I'm not actually a real journalist. And it's yeah, man, but your platform is huge, and that comes with a responsibility whether you want it to or not. And you can't just put a little disclaimer at the bottom of the screen and say whatever you want. And by the way, she's threatening litigation, which she will absolutely win, because she's, unlike when you do stuff about a public person, she's a private citizen. She's in no way a public figure. You can't make an argument that an athlete that on a sport that nobody watches, their private life as a college freshman is a public figure. And so if you lie about them in a malicious way, you are in deep trouble as a media company. And the fact that you're not a journalist is not a defense in a court of law. So this could cost ESPN and Pat McAfee personally. We're talking millions of dollars here. So this is real bad. But beyond that, media discussion of what it means to be in the media and the different roles that we all have in it, it's just how they handle this story is gross to me. The fact that they would villainize or demonize or make fun of this girl instead of being horrified when they thought this story was true at the prospect of this grown ass man doing this to his son. And, yeah, okay, legally speaking, it's not, a crime because she was 18, but if you're going to be an adult here, I don't need to fill in the blanks for you and spell it out. So it's super weird. It's gross. It's infuriating. And I hope that it makes people, and specifically men, go, what are we doing? Can we not be better than this? Because I hate to say if it was your daughter, but or your sister, or your, make it so it's someone relative to you. This is someone's daughter. This is, forget her relation to anybody else. This is a human being. And it's super jacked up. It's super messed up. And again, I'm not trying to moral high horse this and beat anybody down. I'm just making you stop for a second and go wait, what are we doing? And if we can ask that question honestly of ourselves, and I would hope that McAfee takes a second here to ask that of himself, as there was a story in The Athletic this morning that kind of busted this all wide open, that if he takes a look at himself in the mirror, he goes, whoa. Because the thing is about McAfee, unlike some other people that I think are clown attention seekers, I think McAfee is a circus clown. He's I'm putting on the makeup in the nose and I know who I am. I don't think that Pat McAfee is someone who has bad intentions. I think Pat McAfee at times is way out over his skis, and that he should know his own limitations better. And if he did that, he would stop putting his foot in his mouth so often. And if he took these opportunities when he says problematic things, which he has a bunch, to actually learn, then he could actually accomplish the kind of things that he wants to in the world. Because I think Pat McAfee is ultimately someone who wants people to feel good. I think that's the whole point of his show. He's like, we have fun. It's good. It's fun. It's happy. It's light. And there's something to be said for that. But at the same time, there's still a responsibility, and there's certain topics that don't really fit into your show because of that, and it's okay to just leave them alone. But what I would hope is that McAfee looks in the mirror and is like, wow, I really messed this one up. Like, this is bad. And he would come out and be like, guys, I messed this up. Y'all, if you are doing anything to this girl, please leave her alone. This is not true. And by the way, when you're making as much money as Pat McAfee is, I would hope that he also finds a way to send money to her. Now, his lawyers are probably going to have something about that, especially if she's threatening litigation. And that's when it all gets really messy. But like on a human level, if that's really what you're about, like if Pat McAfee, if somehow this clip gets back to you and you care about being a positive person in the world and having a net positive impact on the world, my challenge to you is to make this right, to live up to the things that you believe in or that you claim to believe in, to have the impact that you claim to want to have in the world. That would be my ask request. There, I did it, hopefully without getting on too much of a high horse or being too much of a bummer. That was a hopeful spin without just lashing out on what is frankly a gross and disgusting story on a million levels. Also, what is wrong with people that they're putting this on Yik Yak in the first place? What is wrong with us that there's something that called Yik Yak that exists?
That's college, man. Like, I mean, we both went to, you know, Syracuse, and
I went before the internet, Anthony. That's a joke. I didn't go before
I was about to say.
Not that old. But I don't think we had a Yik. Now I want to ask.
We did.
What is Yik Yak supposed to be for? Is it supposed to be for like posting about people?
It's really just gossiping. Like, I don't really know how to explain it because I didn't use it. I didn't, you know, participate in it. I didn't care too much for it, but I don't know.
But it's not just like messy, hey, what's the best pizza shop? It's talking about other people.
Yeah.
Who raised us?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I feel like I'm asking that question a lot recently. Do we have anything in the Real Things folder, Anthony?
No, but we can get out at 45.
Okay. Here's what we got. One thing we can play that's more uplifting, and maybe we need more people like Buzz Williams in the world. Come on. Do it. It doesn't want me to play the Real Things thing. Up now it's playing, of course.
We're not going to be sunk this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
This is Texas A&M basketball player Manny Obaseki after the Aggies lost in the NCAA tournament to Michigan. This is what he had to say about his coach, Buzz Williams, who's now Maryland's Buzz Williams.
That man right there, next to Wade, one of the greatest people you will ever meet. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time in basketball in general. And he's changed my life. He's changed each and every one of our lives. And I'm so thankful for him, Coach Buzz. You mean everything to me. I love you. No matter what, I know you're going to be one call away, one text away. And no matter what anybody says, he's one of the greatest. And y'all can't change that. And nobody will change that or take that from him. Thank you.
Terps fans, that's what you're getting. You're getting a coach that the players absolutely love. Someone who does things his way, which I think rubs some people the wrong way sometimes, but also can cut through a lot of the BS that happens in college sports. So who knows? I'm sure Buzz will be on the station soon. We'll see if it's with us or Sheehan or Russell, but we'll get that taken care of. Caps hockey is next tonight here on the Team 980.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.